What I'm going to explain to you here is something you would expect from, say, CBS or NBC or CNN. But ESPN, Sage Steele was a host at ESPN. And she did an interview with Joe Biden a while ago. And she now admits it was not an interview at all, but a scripted, completely scripted conversation. It was written out for her word for word, and she was told, do not deviate from this script. Do not ask follow-up questions. Do not ask any question that is not on this script. Do not think for yourself. Read the words on the screen only. And she's now admitting that for the whole world to know. Listen to this.
Here as we get set for a wonderful day in sports. Opening day for America's national pastime.
This was about 2 months after he took office. That was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured and I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go to the word. Like every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives, editors and executives. Absolutely. I was on script and was told not to deviate. It was very much, this is what you will ask, this is how you will say it. No follow-ups. Next. I knew that this was a lot bigger than just the wonderful editors that I worked with. This went up to the fourth floor, as we said, that were all the bosses, the top executives, the decision makers are, the president of our company, the CEO, where they all work.
So at ESPN, it is the folks upstairs writing all the questions, all the answers, their attorneys, their writers, their producers, whoever. You will read this script. You will ask nothing that's not on the script. Boy, that sounds awfully Chinese, doesn't it? And these are the people, by the way, the ones behind the scenes writing these scripts. They refer to you as a fascist or me as a fascist because we complain about such behavior. Oh, you're fascist. You want all this iron fist of control. You have all the control. A very small group of people, again, control everything you read, see, and hear every day. Not here, but most places. And let me explain, even if you are a respected card-carrying member of the far left, you are not allowed to have any thoughts that allow you to consider another point of view. Other points of view are prohibited. It's just not allowed. And how you would think that it would be is beyond me. Anna Kasparian, over on the wildly left wing, the Young Turks, has another epiphany moment admitting anti-squatting laws in Florida are a good idea. It's the right thing. In other states, doing nothing is absolutely wrong. And she got shellacked for this. Attacked by her co-hosts and people on social media. Listen to this.
But I am impressed with the speed in which DeSantis did something about this. We're seeing stories out of New York and California where lawmakers are just sitting on their asses and doing nothing about it. And I think it's wrong. I think that they shouldn't just sit around and do nothing as these stories continue to flood the press. But I also want to note, we don't know how widespread squatting really is. Judd Legum, in his Substack, Popular Info, addressed how there is really no organization keeping track of how widespread squatting is. And so I don't want to treat this as if it's a widespread issue because we don't know how widespread it is. But nonetheless, for the few who might be victimized by this, there should be legal protections so they're not victimized by this. And I'm glad to see that Florida did something right in response to this issue.
And boy, did she get hammered. Oh, you're just a far right. What is wrong with you? Wrong with you? Did you see the video out of the Bronx of all the Venezuelans living squatting illegally for about a year now in an apartment? The landlords tried desperately to get them out to no avail. If you change the locks, you are a criminal. As a landlord, if you change the locks and there's somebody squatting in your property in New York, you're a criminal. That's no longer the case in Florida. It's your property. Keep the most precious items scarce. That's socialism 101. You must be able to control the things that people need. Food comes to mind. An American rancher that has been blowing the whistle on things, not on the front page, is back talking about mRNA vaccines that have been mandatory for hogs and raising hogs. Now, I cannot verify the veracity of the claims you're going to hear here, but more and more of this is being heard. More and more of that is out there. So I want you to decide for yourself. Free speech rules, all right? Listen.
Let's dig into this statistics sheet about mRNA vaccines in live animals and why this is a concern, not only as a consumer, but as a producer as well. They took 525 hogs, injected them with the live mRNA vaccine, and in 21 days, these were the statistics. 25 of them suffered from death. 55 of them became so anorexic that they were near death. 20 of them suffered from lameness. 12 of them suffered from loss of condition. And 25 more of them had near-death symptoms. So we have 70% of these animals that are going to be okay to an extent. And then we have 30% of them that either have died or have near-death symptoms. They did autopsies on the ones that had passed away, and they still found remnants of the live virus vaccine inside the meat of these animals. So from a consumer standpoint, we have to worry about a live virus being inside of our meat that we're putting inside of our bodies. And as a producer standpoint, we have to worry about the health of our animals that can ultimately destroy us, destroy our herd, and destroy our business altogether.
So destroy the food.
I'm interested to see what y'all think about this, so make sure you leave a comment.
Destroy the food. And then shame people if they don't fall in line. Make sure you tell them how it's going to be. And if they resist, well, then just make it mandatory. One more thing. Pete Buttigieg slamming Americans that don't want EVs compares them to people who wanted landlines for phones, except that the government didn't have to incentivize Apple. No, they didn't have to do that. Listen to this.
Your consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever.
Dumbest comment ever. Yeah. Apple didn't need public money to get it done. I'll be back.